Hey everyone, welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. I'm Jacob from Team Gary, and today we have the first installment of Team Gary V Thursdays. Each week, a new member of Team Gary V will showcase their favorite piece of content that Gary has ever made. This week, it's my turn. I really hope you enjoy this one.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
You said, "I trust you blindly, Phil," right? And I've been noticing that's like a theme that you like give trust maybe easier than some CEOs would.
I do.
Why is that? What's the methodology behind that?
It's offense. I think people say no too often because they fear ramifications. I don't think micro losses are scary, and empowering people to make decisions is how you scale. And to me, I've always thought that somebody doing an 86 instead of my 100 is better than not doing it at all. Plus, how am I ever gonna learn if somebody is capable without giving them a chance? Like, eventually you have to let your kid swim. Eventually you have to let them swing the bat. I'm completely not driven by fear. And people are. And the reason people don't let people do things is they fear it, or they have, I mean, it's ego. A lot of people don't want their understudies or their direct reports or the people they manage to be better at something than them. It's just insecurity. I'm massively secure in myself, and that's exactly right, Kim. It's a good insight, and you're doing a good job with this and asking me these questions. Like, I say yes, I give trust at first. You can lose it. People are like, trust is earned. I'm like, cool, that seems slow and egotistical. Like, who am I to have it earned? You know, like, great. To me, trust is given, and then you lose it if you're incapable, and have proven that you're not worthy of the challenge or the role. I think one thing I've noticed, though, that is a counteract to my move is that a lot of times when you accelerate that too soon, people become entitled. They in the micro, get a little bit of high on their supply, and they start having egos underneath you. When you were like watching my people that I empower with, like, I trust you blindly, then not trust people blindly underneath them is heartbreaking, happens often, and is something I'm thinking a lot about.
How do you communicate, or how do you distill that same methodology to the people under you so that it's like a prolonged process?
I don't. I prefer to see what people actually do naturally themselves than try to micromanage it. I think a lot of people never get a true read on somebody because they've over-manipulated their tasks and the person is doing exactly what that boss wants. And to me, ultimate scale is allowing people to roam free and expose themselves. It's kind of like that rope, right? I'll give you rope and you can go forever, or you can hang yourself with that rope. I think that whatever that analogy is that I've heard in culture, I'm sure is what I'm doing, which is I'm giving unbelievable amounts of rope, and some people will run into perpetuity with it and create enormous amounts of happiness and wealth and success and whatever we do together, and others will, you know, get tripped up on it and get caught up in their bungee cord and lose.
You made a post the other day on Instagram about the new man and how men are going to grow in emotional intelligence and caring and soft skills. Can you elaborate?
Well, first of all, I have always been, you know, an alpha, and I have always led with gratitude and empathy and kindness and compassion and caring. That doesn't always manifest in my content or on stage when I'm, you know, when I have the lights on and I'm my most showman. But I mean, that's become very obvious to anybody that's close to me. And I believe that because the world is harder to hide from, that over time people will develop better people skills, because that has always been the thing that mattered. But in a world that you could hide behind closed doors, non-internet, non-media, and everybody's fingertips, people went to bad behavior. I think emotionally intelligent characteristics and what I would call soft and caring and fluffy and warm and cuddly and cute, I think are actually enormous strengths for an alpha male. And I do think of it a lot like the color pink and the color blue. The color pink was a boy's color and the color blue was a girl's color in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and it was rebranded. And I think that, you know, in the 1980s, you know, tough and don't show emotion and don't show weakness and all that were the kind of like Marlboro Man, John Wayne era. And I think that the way I roll is going to be the next era. Now, I'm probably both, right? Like, I can be kind of like aggressive and competitive and show that side, but my absolute strength and foundation to my success and often other people's that I admire from afar are predicated on their empathy and perspective and gratitude and warmth. And, you know, I think I'm winning on that. And I think I'm going to make it popular. And I think a lot of people are going to feel the benefits of good.
In one sentence, what is emotional intelligence?
Emotional intelligence for me, I define emotional intelligence in the ability to be empathetic, the ability to feel others, the ability to be the bigger person emotionally, because you are not chemically or perspectively thinking about things in the short term, and you're able to take a step back and in the heat of the moment bring value and just, I think, feeling people. You know, just feeling people and then knowing what to do with it. There's emotional intelligence and there's the ability to then, in the fine line, turn that into manipulation because you feel people and you're able to move them into something that doesn't benefit them. And I think some of the worst people of all time have had emotional intelligence, but they transformed it into negative manipulation. And, you know, and my ambition is to go the other way, which is to use my emotional intelligence to create an incredible force of good. And I think emotional intelligence is a little bit more complex than just charisma. You know, I think a lot of times I'll use emotional intelligence or other things. I genuinely believe there's a conversation to be had around kindness. You know? Being kind. It works.
I'm noticing that.
It works.
Yeah.
But I think there's also like, you know, I think one thing that people don't understand is I think I use being misunderstood as an advantage to get it accomplished. So let's talk about how you set this up. So there's always going to be a group that believes in me right away, and there's a group that doesn't believe in me, and then there's the middle, which is the biggest group of all. I think for a lot of those people, they're gonna gravitate towards, you know, I always say people find what they're looking for. So I feel like the people that most appreciate my content right away are either optimistic and positive in nature to begin with, so they see it, or love candor, right? And then there's people who are just cynical because they've been hurt, or negative because they're negative. And I think those people struggle with me at first, but I do think being misunderstood or having very polarizing reactions to me is a strength of mine because I can slow roll people into where I'm looking to get them mentally in my own selfish ambition to like do good. I'm not hung up on it. Like whether I'm right or your buddies are right, like somebody's gonna be right in the end. You know, like spending time debating if I'm a good dude or not, if I'm really real or not, is utterly a complete waste of time. Boom. I'm just gonna do, and just like, the score will be the score. Didn't matter if you thought LeBron was gonna be good or not. Like, LeBron took care of that. Like, so, and people will still say what they're gonna say, so I'm okay with that.
Not judging yourself. You've been talking about this a lot recently, and for whatever reason, it's been really clicking with me recently, and I'm trying to figure out what it is. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
I don't judge other people, and it starts with myself, and it's a very powerful thing. Of course I judge people, like, but I don't judge them. I guess, you know, of course, let me rephrase. Things run through my minds, opinions, but judgment is final. It's absolute. And I just think everything's in a work in progress, or moments in time, or angles, or context, or you need to know so much more. Like, everybody's got opinions on people. They don't even, first of all, this is just straight facts. 99.9% of people that you judge or have opinions on, you have no idea what is actually happening in their lives. Let's just start there. The fact is, you probably only know what 4 or 5 people actually have going on. And even then, you don't know as much about your sister and your parents as you think. I mean, that to me is just like, I just have no interest in being so wrong. I care too much about myself to judge other people. Like, you don't know me. And that means I don't know you. And so, you know, everything is within context. Everybody's so absolute, you know? World is gray.